thought the last election was about change? Well, in 2012, some believe a dwarf star will travel near the Earth and bring about profound spiritual transformation or an apocalypse. Take your pick.
We know a lot of you have been partying like it's 1999 since 1983, and the years 1984, 1999, and 2001 all came and went without a hitch.
And now we're supposed to be anxious about the next cosmic doomsday, 2012?
On today's show, we have artist, gay dad, and 2012 believer Eric Sosa Kibbe and his partner, Mark Sosa Kibbe, to talk about being gay dads, their concern over the ominous year 2012, and if the Mayas were really onto something, or were they just really bad at math?
I'm waiting for Sam Raimi to bring back my all-time favorite TV show, Cleopatra 2525. Just 516 more years to go before we enter a world where machines rule the Earth. Mankind has been driven underground, and Cleopatra is about to discover there's no place like home.
Listen as we talk about the man who had over 50 traffic citations in one day, and the woman who took her driving test over 700 times and failed every one of them. Why wouldn't she just give up?
An 18-year-old suburban Milwaukee high school student is accused of blackmailing classmates into gay sex using Facebook. If convicted, he could face up to 300 years in prison.
And Beau Breedlove, former legislative intern at the center of the controversy involving Portland Mayor Sam Adams, adopted a dog and named her Lolita, and claims the dog's name has nothing to do with his affair.
All this and more, I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Billion.
And this is Feast of Fools. Woof. Feast of Fools is brought to you by generous support of fantastic people like you.
We really can't do this show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffools.net, and make a donation, buy a t-shirt.
Your contributions make the site and this podcast possible.
Thank you. Feast of Fools is also brought to you in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
LifeLube is your big tent guide to gay men's health, from sex and drugs to fairies and bears. It's your friendly concierge for all that's gay, sexy, and healthy.
LifeLube is the shame-free zone that keeps us all together. LifeLube.org. Hit the sweet spot.
Oh, yes. So you guys moved to Kenosha, Wisconsin, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Kenosha.
So is your house really nice?
Six bedrooms.
Do you guys have like a jacuzzi tub?
Yep.
Mark and Faust are going to Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Wow. So you guys have a pool?
Well, the clubhouse is cool.
Really? Can we go hang out at the clubhouse?
Yes.
Yep. Let's turn it into a gay bar.
We will.
For the weekend.
Oh, that sounds
Everybody
really
Chicago
fun.
Chicago and Milwaukee.
So on today's Feast of Fools, we have once again Eric R. Sosa / Kibbe. Hi, Eric. And hey. His imaginary husband is actually a real person, Mark Sosa Kibbe. Not to be confused with Mark Phelan. Welcome to Feast of Fools, Mark
Thank
Sosa
Kibbe. Thank you very
Kibbe.
Much. It's great to finally be here.
It's great to finally meet you. We've never met you. As long as we've known Eric, we've never actually met you
Mark,
before.
Now everybody who listens to this show and is familiar with Eric Sosa's antics, you hold the title as the world's most patient husband.
Yes, you took that title away from me, Mark.
No, you didn't. Let me see your wedding rings. You guys actually got married?
We did not.
Can I put it on?
Yeah, here.
Let me see. No, give me Mark. I want to wear Eric's.
I want to wear Mark's.
Mark tomorrow.
Oh, these are really nice.
We're like married people.
Girl. See, this is what I do. I put on the ring. I go, oh, honey, he gave me a ring.
But it wasn't like a real ring.
I want the people. A Beyonce dance.
Who can't see the rings at home. They're like stretchy. Stretchy metal.
No, they don't stretch. But they're malleable.
They're hinged.
These are really cute. Yeah. So just like your relationship, it's flexible.
Right?
So whose ring is this?
That one's Eric's.
How do you know that?
Because you guys ever get your fatter finger.
His finger's a little bit bigger.
Oh, you have a fat finger.
I got a chunky chunk.
See, I look good in it.
Yeah, I had to put marks on my pinky.
I might want to get married.
Mine works as a... Well, I was going to say we're just cockering, but it didn't work.
It does kind of work as a cockering.
That's unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
Stretchy. Yeah, they feel very stretchy.
Do you guys usually do that when you go to gay bars? You go say, want to wear my wedding ring?
For tonight only. No.
Ooh, now I'm married to Mark Sosa Kibbe and two kids. Where are your kids? Hey, hold on. Where are the kids?
They're with their aunt.
Oh, yeah, so you guys left that with the auntie?
Well, no, not with an aunt, because I don't have a sister. They're my sister-in-law, which is kind of like an aunt, I guess.
Right?
Right, maybe? That's an aunt. That's for an them, aunt. It's
oh,
an aunt,
yeah,
isn't
like,
it?
Right.
Yeah, so it's an aunt. Eric's brother, Elvis.
You have a brother named Elvis? Get the fuck out of here, no. Really?
Yeah. And Freddie with, and I have another brother named Freddie with one D.
Freddie with one F-R-E-D-Y.
Freddy.
Wow.
And Elvis and Eric.
Right. Uh-huh.
So tell me the story about how you guys got those wedding rings, because you were in Brazil.
Yep.
And you basically stole them from a street hustler.
No. What happened? We actually thought that they were cheaper than what they really were.
We had a fun afternoon at the beach. Mm-hmm. We had mini Caprina vodkas, which is a local Brazilian, mm-hmm, like sugar vodka. Yeah. And we were walking down the street, and we'd always talked about getting rings, and we saw these rings in a window, and we're like, oh, it's only 500 reais, which is the Brazilian, mm-hmm, currency.
500 coconuts.
Yeah, 500 coconuts. What we forgot, because we were so drunk, is that little X6 down in the bottom of everything.
Times six.
Yeah, how many payments you have to make on the ring.
Oh, so you just thought it was 500 something, and you're like, oh, that's cheap, and then you went in there, and you went to pay for it, and you're like, ooh, that's a lot of money.
Well, not really. We laid down the Amex, we got the rings, and it wasn't until we were halfway back to the hotel.
Well, we could have been like, you know what, this is not worth it, but we, you know, this was like, we were like adamant, like, I just thought that we thought that
they were amazing.
They were amazing rings. They were unique. And
did
we're
you
like,
haggle?
You know what? No, this is before we decided that we were going to keep them. We were just like,
well, you should have, but anyway, no matter what the price is, if you're in Brazil, you haggle over it. Your hooker, he says 100.
Oh, you can't haggle at this price.
This is one of the premier, like, custom, like, jewelries. And the Rosa, her was her name. Well, she was.
I'd still haggle with
her. And she kind of presided over us when we got the rings, because our friend, Michael, who's a great friend of ours, he was there when we got our rings, and we're like, and we kind of like, just, we didn't have a ceremony. It was nothing other than us getting our rings at the jewelry store, and I said,
married.
Mark, this is yours, Eric, this is mine, and that was it. That was the extent of
Michael.
Which came first,
ceremony.
The rings or the kids?
Oh, the rings, definitely. We, 3 years before, four years
so
before the kids.
So, when you guys got the ring, in essence, it was your wedding ceremony, because you guys never actually had something.
And we
like
actually
that.
Knew that, I mean, we never really talked about it, but we knew that in essence, like, This is
with a lot of girls too. You got your husband drunk and you said, let's get some rings.
And not
only how you work,
but this is how you do it. You go get your husband drunk and you go shopping for jewelry. You think breakfast at Tiffany works? Mm-hmm. You should go get cocktails at Tiffany's. Yes.
Cocktails at Tiffany's, then rings, then tattoos.
I think that's a good name for a show.
Cocktails at Tiffany's. Moon River. Hey, Mark, let's go shopping.
Do you want it, sweetheart? I'll get you anything.
Yeah,
you want.
I love you.
You like it.
You're right.
You like
the first
it.
Now, it's
what kind of metal is that? That is a platinum or gold or what?
It's white gold.
It's white gold.
The company only puts together what they can mine in Brazil, and platinum is not found in Brazil.
I just, you know, for me, psychologically, I want a cheap ass ring, because if I lost
from the gumball machine.
Well, I want something that won't corrode on my finger, you know, but like silver or.
But
like
platinum won't corrode.
Yeah, but that's expensive, honey. It's
that's true.
The only thing that I don't, when we, actually, the funny thing is, like, with these rings, like,
tell them police.
I was fat, I was skinny, and they would bust, and then they wouldn't fit, then they would bust again. So finally, we finally got to a size where I was just stable, and I was like, well, good. But now it.
I feel your pain, Eric. I know what you mean.
But now it's like the only thing that. The thing with white gold is, like, you have to get it
polished.
Polished.
Really?
Yeah. Because otherwise the gold starts to show through.
Oh, really? So there's gold on the inside?
Well, yeah, because it's gold. Gold is gold.
But it's white gold.
But white gold is only, how would you describe it?
What is it, like, silver on the outside?
It corrodes.
Yeah. It's like.
It scratches really easy.
Well, I get it then.
It's like stain. It's like stainless steel, like the outside. It just needs to be polished and buffed. And every couple of years, we have to have
it. So, if you guys like go through hard economic times, you can stick those in a little envelope and send it to Cash for Gold.
We could. Right.
Did you guys see the Super Bowl commercial
with MC Hammer?
That was a brilliant marketing angle. That was the only good Super Bowl ad. You know, the economy is in trouble.
Why didn't they have a Snuggie commercial? I think that would have been brilliant.
I have seen the Snuggie.
I own a Snuggie. I got it for my birthday.
Explain to the listeners what a Snuggie is. What's a Snuggie?
It's a robe that you put on backwards, basically.
It's a large
and
felt.
It's very staticky. One of the things that the commercial does not say.
I thought those were jokes.
No.
It's a joke, isn't it?
No, it's real.
You look like
I got one for my birthday. And the thing is, like, you pull it out and it's like static cling. It's like you could see the electricity.
That's fun. Well, what's wonderful? Have you seen that parody commercial of those things where they have it and like what they the most uses that people use it for is for like witchcraft ceremonies.
You know, speaking of, you know who when I put a picture of myself up on Facebook, people are like, "You look like Gargamel."
Yeah, well, that's not a compliment. Not a compliment, honey.
That is actually true.
It's Gargamel.
So you're Smurfette then, Mark,
or Azrael.
Yeah, actually, there's a wonderful episode of Robot Chicken where Gargamel finally gets to eat the Smurf, and he goes, it doesn't taste what I thought it would taste like. And he throws it in the garbage can.
Shut up. Are you serious?
Sour grapes.
Sour grapes. Oh, where'd you guys meet each other? You guys met each other on
gay.
In a bar?
Gay.com.
Really? Back when gay.com was the hub.
When it was dial-up. It was like...
So what was the conversation like? Like, did you... Now, be honest here. Did you guys were like, how big is your dad?
No, not at all.
It was actually a good conversation.
Actually, I was at work when I was like...
But that's what every gay couple tells you.
But no.
We weren't sleazy with each other.
We actually weren't. I'll tell you this. Like, you know what? When his picture came up, and I was like... Damn, are you serious? Like, he wants to talk to me?
Can we see the original photo? Is that up online anywhere?
Ooh.
If you go on Facebook, I think
some of them
Facebook
are.
Some of them are.
Let's take a look here.
I'm going to look at some of these things. So you guys didn't hook, you weren't like, what's your stats and how big?
No, not at all.
So you guys talked about politics.
I was just surprised that somebody with a six pack would be like, hey, my name is Mark. And I was like, I'm Latino and chunky.
Were you chunky when you guys met?
I wasn't chunky, but Mark saw the potential.
For the chunk potential.
He saw the chunk potential.
Actually, I think the best thing that I liked is we had such a robust conversation, which is unusual when you're like on a gay chat room, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
What did we talk about? I don't even remember.
We talked about a ton of different things. Like,
yeah, like, you know, right.
It was very, very interesting.
Well, so when did you guys first hop in?
Wow, you did have six pack abs when you guys first met. I can't believe it.
Do you still? Let me see.
Facebook's been doing like weird shit on their site, so I can't see the photo.
And you know what? In Facebook, like, I've been meeting up people from high school, from like elementary school. It's crazy.
I had people friending me from high school. It's like, I was never your friend in high school. It's like, you know, why would I want to be?
Oh, Mark, you look so cute as a twink. I mean, you can't see this, but it was like,
let me see.
This was like 10 years ago photos. I can't blow it up because it locks me out.
Your boss won't let you.
As fun as Facebook is,
so
it's full of bugs.
Just go to our website, feastofools.net, and you can see pictures of Mark with his six-pack abs and stuff.
You can either
like
see Eric R. Sosa Kibbe or Mark R. Sosa Kibbe.
Can we get a fat picture of you and a skinny picture of you, too, to put them side by side?
I was never... what does fat mean? Because I...
Well, what you said, what do you consider chunky?
Chunky.
When your ring popped off.
Like... I'm just starting to get my ring back today.
Should I not?
So I'm puffy right now.
Yeah, I've seen you skinnier than this, but you still look good. Because you're wearing a Feast of Fools t-shirt.
Duh.
So you look fantastic. It's
and everybody should honestly have a Feast. Every time I come and visit, I'm so glad to get a Feast of Fools t-shirt.
Hey, they're
you
available
look
on
fantastic.
The website.
Yeah, my boobs are like...
It's fresh.
They're not man boobs, I must say. Like, they're just like really, like really boobs.
How do you stay in shape when you drink more than Michael Dukakis' wife? That's a little retro joke.
But I think it's...
Am I right, ladies?
Yeah.
Well, he's very energetic, so you burn a lot of calories when you drink, don't you? Because you're
laughing
always
and picking
around.
Up kids.
Laughing and picking
at the bar.
You don't mind. Yeah, it's like, if the trend goes, most bars will put in a daycare center and
Now, shut up.
So we're going to talk about 2012.
Yeah, last time
no,
I saw you,
no,
you were saying that 2012 was going to change the world.
You know what? I no longer think.
Wait. 2012 is freaking out my stepdad, though. It's changing his world.
It's, why? You know what? Wait. I no longer think that it's specifically 2012. I specifically think that it's the years leading up to 2012 and the years after 2012 that people will really
You still believe in that? You drank
no, no, what are they going to believe in? I want concrete ideas.
What do you specifically
believe
in?
What kind of concrete ideas do you want?
No. I want to hear what you think, your opinion.
He was almost there.
I'm sorry.
Talk about singularity.
So you're saying up until the year 2012 and after what will happen?
I honestly believe that there will be an object heading towards our Earth.
Really?
Shut up.
No, I'm saying really. What and kind of object?
This object could be, well, the majority of people think that the object will be a dwarf star. Or is it?
And?
A doomsday sphere.
No, and it's going to create a lot of friction between our sun and this star, and it's going to change atmosphere. It's not only changing it's not only about what's going to happen with Earth, okay, but it's already happening. You know what? That Mars is getting warmer as well. It's not only about just Earth.
So global warming happens on Mars.
So it's not really. It's
solar system global warming.
You laugh now.
Keep talking.
And so what else is going to happen with this star?
Tell them about
what
it is.
If you believe it.
Oh. I'm listening. I'm just listening.
I'm going to fucking shit on your face.
That's extra.
I love you. No, I know. I'm serious.
Well, what's going on? So Mars is suffering from global warming as Earth. And
Pluto's getting warmer.
There are other planets. Pluto is getting warmer. Believe it or not,
Pluto has a weird orbit.
The planet,
so
not the dog.
Pluto's not a planet anymore. It was demoted. It's a planetoid. It's a Plutoid, actually.
It's not a planet. It's quite not a star. It's a Plutoid. And it's minty fresh.
Yikes.
But you do know that our Earth changes its axis.
Yes,
as well.
Of course. I studied
so the
basic
poles
science.
Are inverting oh, each God. Other. So north
can,
will
can
be south.
Can we just not even talk about this?
Well, if you're going to make up bullshit, you got to have all the...
I'm not making up bullshit, dude.
What? Well, how is this you not bullshit? This. Where is there any kind of basis in fact of science anywhere for this? Anywhere.
In a book.
Somebody just imagined
Mark,
this.
What? Books Mark. Don't lie. If they took the trouble to write it,
Mark,
no,
do you believe
that's
this?
Not that.
So there's scientific fact, yes, right? There's a lot of research, and it's all about what you believe in your own research. You can scientific fact. You can put your science to the test.
Yes,
and prove a lot of different things.
Yes,
and I definitely believe, right, there's a basis for 2012. And based on everything he's told me, there's no reason for me not to believe that 2012 is around the corner.
Well, of course 2012 is not around the corner. It's 2009. It's only 3 years away.
But the potential of the event.
Potential.
Of a dwarf star coming by here. No. Well, what is it then?
That's the thing. We don't know. As human beings, we don't know.
To explain to listeners, this all comes from the fact that some man calendars,
Mayan calendar,
they had a doomsday scenario that happened.
They did not have a doomsday scenario.
Their calendar just
says in 2012 that there will be an enlightenment of consciousness.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say that the world's going to end. It doesn't say.
Wasn't it just that their math kind of got out of control at that point in time, and they said we can't figure it out beyond this point?
That's why they all left.
Beyond their capabilities.
That's why we don't know where they all went.
Well, there's still people that speak Maya. There's still people Mayas around.
You know what's interesting too is that a lot of the records of Bill Clinton's administration will be released in 2012 too.
Oh, maybe that's what it's going to be. It's lots of stuff about blow.
Thank you, Google.
Much more Monica than we ever wanted to know.
Do you think that we're going to have a one world government?
In 2012, no.
No, not in 2012.
I think it's a one world odor.
Odor.
It's called China.
It smells like maple syrup.
Oh, no.
So here, if you could search, if you want to look at it on Wikipedia, there's just more information than you care to look at.
I just want to add up my own.
I'm just pissed that the movie 2012
got
pushed back to
June. You can basically say anything you want to say about 2012, and somebody somewhere thinks it's true.
It's going to believe it.
No.
Let's start our own thing.
Hey, you know what? I'm not saying that it's going to happen.
You're just panicking about it and upset about it.
He's not panicking about it. He's done that.
No, listen to me.
But your uncle's panicking about
it. But listen. Just hold on.
What?
There is nothing wrong with preparing yourself for something that could or could not happen.
I agree. I sometimes could or could not prepare myself for it.
Right. So the best thing is just to take that knowledge and put it as...
I could or could not be ready for
the... What concrete steps are you taking to prepare yourself? Are you hoarding water? Do you have like a bunker?
No.
Are you saving food?
No.
Are you... What are you doing?
But do I want to? Are you buying gold bullion?
Because at the end of the day, I think that if you're going to survive, you're going to survive. If you're not going to survive, but it doesn't hurt to know what.
And that's why you're breeding an army of super soldiers.
And what about you, Mark? You say your stepfather has gone berserk over this?
He has not gone berserk.
So one of the things Eric has done to help prepare our family for it.
For doomsday.
No, it's not a doomsday.
Why? For the most significant year of human history.
Ever.
Well,
ever.
Because a lot of people are going to have angst around it, right? Mm-hmm. My family, my mother, and my stepfather, you know, we live on a farm in the middle of nowhere.
And they're Mayans.
They're not.
Today is a Ridicule Eric Day.
We're listening. What show is not that? Okay, so
when have we ever been on a show where we have Eric a ridicule?
You know, helping to prepare, make sure.
Okay, we're listening.
If we as a family need to do something, we can get to my mother's, and my mother is prepared for it. My stepfather is prepared for it, and we could sustain ourselves on our farm. We could, you know, definitely.
Thank God you moved to Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Well, and do they have like a bomb cellar and stuff like that?
There's nothing wrong with preparing yourself because 2012 is not just about the end of days. I think you just have to prepare yourself like for any type of catastrophe.
Okay. Where is this farm?
I want people to, see this, the body language here. Mark is putting his hand on Eric, and he's like, not a Mark feeling, Mark Sosa Kibbe. He's like, sweetie, darling, relax.
I just feel like I'm being attacked.
You're not this being attacked.
But you know what? This is what I'm telling your people.
This is an intervention.
Your people meaning your audience.
Right.
Yes.
It takes no effort to just listen to what's around you, take knowledge as to what's happening around you, and just...
Well, I have my own little plan. Like if we have a disaster, I'm probably, depending on where the disaster is, I'm going to either go north, south, east, or west. You know, it depends on what's going to happen.
And he's going any direction. For our family. He knows exactly what we would do and where we would go.
And I can suck a good dick to the west coast if I have to.
Here's one thing that's very important. All right. In 2012, it's predicted to be like the most hottest, intense,
Solar activity
that man has known. That's scientific. All right, it happens every 11 years. With that said, people who run the communication
satellites,
know how that is going to interfere with our communication
systems.
It'll
probably be just the same way it was last time, 10 years ago.
That's great. I'm glad you think that way, but I just want to be prepared. And that's all I'm saying. Like, how about if all of our communications die out?
So your iPhone's not going to work, and so there won't be any podcast. So what are you going to do?
How
are you
going to listen? Morse code! Tick, tick, tick!
That's why you got to download Feast of Fools and burn it into a CD.
At least you can fucking laugh.
It's a backup. I mean,
that's right, because you need to survive an apocalypse with a podcast.
Right? And saying, Gloria Gaynor, I will survive.
But the thing with these solar flares, it's temporary things. Like, it might last a day or it might last 2 days or something like that.
No, it's going to be more than a day, dude.
I don't know, because we lived through one in the like late 90s and stuff like that.
Here's the thing. Like, you know, there's the Bible. There's the Quran. There's the Bible. Have you ever heard of the Colburn Bible?
Heard the Colburn Report.
No, the Colburn Bible.
Does he have a Bible now?
The Colburn Bible is the Bible that the Egyptians wrote.
Okay.
After the Exodus that was recently published.
Does that acknowledge the existence of Jesus?
No.
Oh, because it's pre-Jesus.
That's why Borders doesn't have it.
Because Borders is part of the Illuminati.
Yes.
And they're going to bring down humanity.
Whatever.
Reorganize humanity.
At the same time, you know what? I love how you ridicule me because...
I'm just asking a question. Is this true or not?
I don't know.
Last time you were here, you were so well.
I find some of your things absolutely ridiculous. I'll be honest. This whole paranoia about 2012.
Well,
I think it's outrageous.
You know what? But that's great because at the end of the day,
yes,
I think that when stuff really, you know,
you're going to be like a 2013, be like, I told you, bitches.
No, no, no. But the thing is, like, you know what? If anything, it does. You know what? Here's what I have to say. Like, you always want to prepare for a fire in your home. You know, you don't know where the fire is going to come from. You don't, but there could be a fire, and you want to prepare your exits.
Right.
That's all I'm doing.
Okay.
Is that so wrong?
Well, and your gay dads.
No.
And you're concerned for the well-being of your children.
Is that so wrong?
Definitely.
You want to protect your babies.
Yeah. They didn't come out my womb, but they might.
So how'd you guys like become gay parents? Like, did Mark come home?
I will tell you this. Mark did all the work. Like, well, I'm doing the work now.
So you came home.
No, I'm doing the work now. Like, I'm doing the breastfeeding, the nipple eating.
How does twins sound like? And you're like, I guess. And you're like, you poured him a nice cocktail and said, I want to be a daddy.
Mark can tell you that, though.
Who was that? Like, who was, were you 100% on board, Eric Sosa, on this?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah?
Completely.
There was no hesitation in your mind. None.
Because you know what? And this is what's so funny about life. Because
if Mark came home and he said, I want to be a gay dad, I'd be like,
no,
have a
like
cocktail, that. Honey.
No, pump your brakes. When we first talked, like, we knew that we wanted to be dads.
We had this conversation at Rise.
Right. And But the thing is like, when I was a kid, like, I knew I wanted to be an artist. Mark was able to sort of, I became an artist because of Mark. And when I was a kid, I wanted twins. I have twins because of Mark. Like, Mark is my rock of Gibraltar. Like, Mark is... Mark is, like, the guy that... I don't know. Like, there's no definition for Mark other than, like, if it weren't for Mark, I wouldn't be the crazy 2012 paranoid.
So you're to blame. It's your fault, Mark.
All my fault.
I'm in a whole...
So, how did you guys actually become... fathers of two children, beautiful children.
So we actually, a couple of guys that live around the corner from us in Uptown. I don't remember how we met them. Oh, our downstairs neighbor.
Our downstairs neighbor was crazy.
They adopted from the same agency we got our son from, Gay Dads. And so we went over to their place in October of 2005. And
their kid was adorable.
Adorable. And listened to their whole story. And, you know, did a little research on, you know, adoption in general. And found out that the place they adopted from really did cater to lesbian and gay men. And it was a Guatemalan-based agency, and there are only three places in the world where you could adopt from as a single male.
Mm-hmm.
China, Vietnam, and Guatemala. Well, for us, Guatemala made the most sense.
You mean, I could get a Chinese baby?
Yeah, we could have had a Chinese boy.
Wow.
Well, I actually would have had a Chinese girl.
What?
You want Chinese or Vietnamese?
I want Guatemalan, too.
You want Guatemalan?
I like sushi!
My cousin has she adopted as a single mother a Vietnamese kid.
Because you got to teach your kids Spanish nursery.
That's a very itsy bitsy spider mode.
Yeah, I got one ready.
Itsy bitsy.
Do you know how to do it in Spanish? La pequeña arañita subió el tubo del agua bajo la lluvia y se mojó la araña.
I would love to learn that.
Salió el sol y secó toda la lluvia, así que la arañita salió otra vez a jugar.
I would love to do that because my kids
could
do that.
Okay, I'm gonna blow your mind. My older sister Beatriz translated that while she was taking, you know, breastfeeding Victoria.
Right. And I just...
Isn't that amazing?
My kids...
And if you're bilingual, this is a intensely fantastic translation.
You know what? Just hearing you say that, because my kids are now into nursery rhymes.
Mm-hmm.
And I showed you the clip about my kids wanting
to
do...
I know, it's so cute.
And the funny thing is, like, I love Cole requesting Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. He's like, I want Twinkie Twinkie Star.
Estrellita, ¿cómo estás? Blah, blah. I don't know the rest of it. But
it's like, kids are getting bigger. My kids are getting bigger. I'm becoming a dad.
You got to teach them Spanish.
I do.
We both
but you know
Spanish
what? It's, the thing is, it's very hard to say. It's so easy to say you have to teach them Spanish. Because
speak
when you yell at them, like, you're just like, blah, 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 blah.
But we used to scold them more in Spanish than we do now. It's true.
Right? And they probably watch television and think, I just want to watch it in English and stuff like that.
No,
that's true. But, you know, it's
yes.
But we play Spanish music.
Them, though.
Listen, all you got to do is, gay dads, play a little Shakira and you're done.
I was watching television once and I thought, oh, this is going to be exciting. I want to watch this movie. And so I turned it on. And it happened to be on HBO on the Latin channel. I was like, oh, it's in Spanish. And Fausto was like, he's just smiling. He goes, that's exactly what we would do when we were kids, when we wanted to watch like a certain TV program. And then it would end up being in Spanish.
Oh, no. More interesting, in Puerto Rico, to this day, a lot of the movies for children, because most kids don't speak English in Puerto Rico. You know, you become bilingual once you go to school. A lot of the kids' movies are released in Spanish only.
What do you feel about?
And so you were like, go to the movies, like expecting like, you know, like what's a move, a popular, like Harry Potter is released in Spanish only most of the time in Puerto Rico. So you'd pay the admission, you sit down, oh my God, we're going to get to see Harry Potter. And then it's like, oye, Harry, ¿cómo estás? Mira, ¿qué está doliendo?
You know, what do you feel about American Idol in Puerto Rico?
You know, I never, I was killing myself because I wasn't able to watch it. And, you know, they,
but the thing is, like, you know what? There was one thing that I was pissed about. I was pissed about because they wanted to be like, they're looking for the Mark Anthony. It was like, that's so typical. Like, that's just so stupid.
Who else are they
going
to look for? The Celia Cruz?
Well, they already got Clay Aiken.
You know? Ira Chacon.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Chiquita.
So let's repeat that joke here. They're looking for, say it again.
Mark Anthony.
They already got Clay Aiken.
Oh, snap.
Okay.
What was the name of that guy?
Kids, though, have been busy imitating you. And as they grow up, they
I hate you.
Your children are like parodies of yourself.
Yeah, they are.
So the kid, what? Tell us the story. This is so good.
Mark, tell the story because it's crazy.
The phone story.
So the kid started going,
well, what do I do that's typical of Eric?
So Eric has a tendency to misplace his phone.
Oh, not just my phone. Everything.
But every
my
day.
Phone is like every day.
Like every day. Like
yes.
He'll walk
I've been at a diner with Eric and he's like, where's my phone? Where's my phone?
I think he left his phone once he came back.
Oh my God, that's right. Because it came up. I left my phone up at your place. I was downstairs. Yeah. And I was
that's common.
I left my phone up at your place. I'm like, where's my phone?
And your phone's sitting there on the counter, so don't forget it before you leave.
That's my phone.
Oh, that's your phone.
Eric's is right here.
So, yeah. Eric, you know, he'll come up to me all the time. Where's my phone? Have you seen my phone? Where's my phone?
So the kids, of course, you're tucking them into bed at night.
Well, so Cole, we have, you know, multiple old cell phones we let the kids play with. And Cole really likes his the most. And he'll go and he'll talk to it. And he comes up to Eric one day. And he's like,
unbeknownst to me.
Eric,
and I'm oblivious.
Thing.
I'm like,
he's like, Papa, where's my phone?
Where's my phone?
Where's my phone?
Where's my phone?
And Eric's like, I don't know.
I'm like, your phone's right there. And he's like, oh, I found it.
You know,
and he does this repetitively. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
So then it's
bedtime. We put them to bed. And Mark, what happens?
We're downstairs. And I said, hey, Eric, where's my phone?
You're like, who do I sound like?
Where's my phone?
I sound like me. And I'm like, oh, snap.
So that's the thing. It's like anything that you don't like about yourself or any sort of coming, your kids are going to become a mirror for
you. It's reflected in
you. You know what? And it become like it's you're right. And I've realized that I'm crazy.
I took paper somewhere that say that. Well, my sister went as my mother once for Halloween, and my mother did not appreciate that. She did not appreciate that at all.
We used to do that too. We used to inflate balloons and stick it in our in t-shirts and be like, "I'm La Leche League. I love breastfeeding." And my mother was like, "I don't know about that." So let's go into the news. A man got 15 parking citations in one day.
Or traffic.
I believe
citations.
It. If you live in Chicago,
they make the money off of that.
Dude, I live in Wisconsin.
Hold on a second.
Okay.
So this guy,
his name is Elvis, just like your brother. Elvis Barrett is 46, and the police followed him. He ran through red lights, crashed into another car and a fence. They found crack cocaine and a crack pipe in his car. They got him on several charges of fleeing, eluding, and reckless driving. So all in all, like 50 different traffic violations. I don't think this guy's ever going to get out of jail. Running red lights, not wearing a seatbelt. So they arrested him.
They pulled him over.
They found all this stuff.
They gave him the ticket and he kept going and he was like,
No.
This was all in one moment?
All in one moment.
I got a similar story and I swear to God.
I called
Mark and I was like, Mark.
He did too.
They found my crack pipe.
Well, kind of close, dude. It was like, all right, please don't be mad, but I got to tell you what happened. I got a ticket And I didn't know what the tick was for, and I was pissed because I put the money in the parking meter to the T. Like, I knew that I was going to be back at this amount of time. And as I'm looking at the ticket, I'm like, I just got a ticket for not having a city sticker, yet I don't live in Chicago, and I have Wisconsin license plates where they kind of know because it's the ticket says you're from Wisconsin. These are your plates.
Uh-huh.
And I ran a red light looking at this fucking ticket. And I was like, I got pulled over and I was like, he's like, you know, you ran a red light. I'm like, yeah, because I got this crazy ticket. And they're like, whatever. And then they pulled me into the fucking station. And I was like,
They took you to the station?
They took me to the station. And then they were like, then I saw the woman write $1,000. Like,
DWL, driving with Latino.
Well, I was like, is that my ticket? Like, for $1,000? She's like, I don't know. I'm like, but you should, because you work here. And she's like, I don't know. I was like,
how much was your ticket for?
Eventually, I had to pay $75 for running that red light, but they still, the ticket that said that I lived in Wisconsin and they saw that I had Wisconsin license plates, like they're like, you have to, that's something different you have to deal with. I was like, you know what? Whenever in Chicago, whenever I come to Chicago, I can guarantee you that I will always leave Illinois, Chicago with a ticket. Case in point, like last week, I just left with two tickets because I had no city sticker, but I had Wisconsin license plates.
So, okay, Mark Sosa Kibbe, your thoughts on this?
Go ahead, be honest, because you know you're probably like, baby, I love you, but what the hell?
Maybe I do love you, but I just think you have really bad luck when it comes to tickets.
I think it's not bad luck. I think you got to park in the right spots and stuff like that.
How can you park? Okay, go away. Wait. Mm-hmm. How can you park in the right spots when today I went to Bucktown, all right? And to unbeknownst to me, now parking meters for every quarter is only 15 minutes, and they're all broken in Bucktown. So, and everything else is like permit parking. So it's like, where do I park?
Well, you park where there's, at the parking, just be like, put a plastic bag over it and be like, it's broken.
Not good anymore. It doesn't work anymore.
Privatization of the meters, you can't do it anymore.
Huh?
The privatization of the meters.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't believe that. Really?
It says right on the meter.
It says now, it's like, look at your parking meter before you park.
Because if your parking meter is damaged and you can't actually pay it,
you can still no longer park at an unbroken parking meter. Where it's like, what?
At a broken parking meter.
Really?
You can no longer do that in Chicago.
And it's kind of outrageous, but that's outrageous, the city sold to a private company by...
They're selling our assets.
So, what do you guys think about this? Bo Breedlove. He's the Lolita in the mayor of Portland.
Lolita's the dog.
I don't know.
But that's the name of his dog. So, what's the story with Bo Breedlove and the
video? Bo was just kind of talking about their romance and saying how he was 17 at the time when they made out, like, on their second time they ever met and things. But they never actually had sex to the age of 18, and he feels bad about the whole thing, but he doesn't really feel exploited, but he just I don't know, if I had a sexual
affair with the hot, sexy, charming mayor of Portland, I'd just be like, it was hot, I loved it. Moving on, you know,
right.
Instead of like, oh, it was so, you know,
I would agree 100%.
Because when I was 18, 100%. I had a very passionate affair with Tim Miller, the performance artist, and lots of people knew about it, and I even did a one-man show about it. Nobody raised an eyebrow about
it.
After watching that YouTube video, right, if I was that mayor guy, I'd breed his love, too. I mean,
he's hot.
Right,
you know?
I mean.
And it's like, you know, the guy practically threw himself on them, on both each other. You know?
Sure. The kid was probably just like gave him the come hither looks and stuff, whatever. And it was 18 when they had
sex. Because when you're 18 and you're working for a hot politician and you want to be politically connected and work in government and you just like have stars in your eyes. And this guy is like more than, you know, he's like... Yeah. Politicians want to connect.
My personal take on it is like, I've had something similar happen to me. It's like, you know what? I wouldn't even fucking get on camera and be like, you know what? This is not a story that I want. Because if you have that much respect, right? If you have that much respect,
but he wants the attention, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's like, if whatever happened between the person that I had that encounter with at whatever age I was, I would because I know what the consequences would be. Mm-hmm. I'm an adult now. I'm past 18. I know what the repercussions would be. I don't need to get on camera and just, you know what? I am such a victim.
Well, do you think he's trying to go- you say this during a podcast.
Do you think he's trying?
Do you see the irony?
Do you think he's trying? Do you think he's trying to go as far as
you know what? That media exposure.
No, because you know what? I'm not naming names. I'm just relating it to a story.
That's true.
That's all I'm doing.
I'm just creating attention, Eric. Though.
Yeah. And who broke
up? Yeah, I'm not creating attention. I'm just creating
an analogy.
But
there's good attention. There's bad attention. The other thing is though too, who originally broke the story that they did lie? Was it
my
the kid?
My booty.
The kid broke the story.
I don't know who broke the story.
I just need to understand who, because you know, if I'm that kid and I'm getting that hot kiss in the bathroom of the courthouse.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's what was crazy. The kiss at the bathroom was hot and I was like, really?
Well, so he's a toilet queen. So what are you going to do? You know?
Like anybody who's listening to the show or you, present in the company has not kissed a guy in a bathroom.
Yeah, come on. And the thing that I thought was kind of funny is that he has that dog named Lolita. And he goes, no, it's not named after the Long Island Lolita. Because like, I don't even think that this guy knows that there's a famous book by Nabokov called Lolita.
No, but the thing is
that my guess.
No, the thing is he does.
You think he knows about the book?
He's not stupid.
That. Well, I think that he is stupid. That's why he said it's not named after the Long Island Lolita.
You think it was coincidence?
I think that he heard the word Long Island Lolita, but not the book. Yes. And so I don't know. And so I think he's kind of dumb. And so I think that
he was cute.
He's seeking attention.
Cute and dumb.
Yes, he is. So back to the car thing. There's a woman in South Korea who failed her driving test for the 771st time. Can you imagine?
Sounds like me. I really don't want to touch the Korean driving story with the 10-foot pole.
So 68 years old.
Mar.
Yes. She lives in the town of Jeonju, and she's taken the test almost every working day since 2005.
And why is she, like, why did she feel like the next day? I mean, that's interesting that she has a sort of like a can-do spirit.
I know.
Tomorrow, right. I will pass test.
I will win. Right.
I will
so
do
she
this.
Says that getting
was drugs, it was a test in English.
Honey, ease up. That's vodka, not water. Okay.
So she says getting a driver's license would help her buy a car so she can expand her business, and she sells food and household items at apartment complexes. And so now she has to push her cart instead. So yeah.
Poor lady.
I know. Why does
she? But you know
what?
I'm glad if she cannot pass a driving test after how many years?
100. Well, it's 9 years.
After 4 years of daily driving tests.
And so one officer goes, I feel
but
sorry.
But you know she's still on the road.
You think by now she wouldn't memorize it. She would have the test memorized, you know? She could administer it.
Just give it to her.
Just
give
it to her.
How far are you guys away? How far are you guys from Waukesha and Kenosha?
Far enough from the new babysitter that we got, because that bitch was crazy.
What?
Crazy.
You got a babysitter from Waukesha?
She was crazier.
Well, she was... You know what? She was really nice.
She's super nice.
She had a cocked eye, but she was really nice. But she was not really there. So we know that it's 45 minutes too close.
So she would bring her boyfriend over, and then
no, she brought her baby. No, whatever. Like I probably should. She's a really nice girl.
She's a very nice girl. Like she just no. We really liked her. She just lied.
She just lied.
We had separate, independent conversations with the same woman. The stories just didn't add up.
Oh,
and so you're like that's kind of weird.
Yeah,
so
it's very Waukesha.
Is there are people weird in Waukesha?
I think people weird.
Well,
in
I have to give this kid credit, although I have to say he did prey on minors, you know, close to his age. He was 18 years old, and so what he did is he went on to.
He was horny. He was gay, right?
Horny, baby.
I'm gonna tell the story.
Well, because you're going too fast. You got to laying down.
I'm going to lay everything down. So he's 18. I think it started before he was 18. So he would go onto Facebook and he'd pretend that he was a girl. And so he had the pictures. He had his whole profile and he'd chat with these guys online and he'd get these guys to like send naked pictures of themselves to her or like videos of themselves like jerking off, whatever. And so he under this girl persona would email them and say, I'm going to send my friend over to your house and he's gonna blow you. I want you to videotape it or take pictures and stuff like that. not. And so they would either agree or they would disagree. And if they disagreed, she goes, I'm going to send these dirty photos you already sent me to your parents and to your school and stuff like that. And so then some of these kids would then agree to engage in the sexual behavior with this kid who was pretending to be a girl online. But then when he would go over to the house, it'd be the boy and he'd take pictures of himself having sex with these guys. And so there's about 30, they think he targeted about 30 kids, but only like 7 or 8 have been identified.
And how many of them did he actually?
7 or 8 is those. Wow. So maybe more had come forward.
That's interesting.
That's intense.
Well, it just goes to show you don't leave your kids alone in front of a computer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you wouldn't leave your kids alone at the mall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's you don't leave them alone in front of a computer. And it's important for parents to be part of their kids' lives and not be like, oh, gee, my kid's being, you know,
my
taking
kid's
advantage.
Sending, like, my naked pictures of themselves over the internet.
Yeah, it's like, you know? In the first place.
Right.
In
that same note, I just... When I lived in Chicago, I never got called for jury duty.
Yeah?
Never.
Oh, yeah. What happened? You got called for jury duty?
I got called.
In Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Yep. I got called for jury duty. It was like a
Judy duty.
My mom called you. My mom's name is Judy.
Your mom called Judy.
It was for... The thing that pissed me off is like, as a civilian, it's your duty.
It's your civil duty.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we spent more money on... a babysitter for 2 weeks on a child pornography case. And I just want you to know, like, if you download images or even look at images of child pornography, you're busted.
That's right.
Really? So what was this case like? What happened?
It's fucked up because nobody was telling the truth. This case was going on for 5 years.
5 years? How many people were involved in it?
5 years. The girlfriend that turned him in, which I think that she really had a plan... to turn him in. At the time, she may have not known that looking at images was illegal, but when she found out that it was, she decided to turn
him
in.
So she was looking at kiddie porn with him?
That's debatable. Like that's not part of the equation. Like the thing that there were like several images that were downloaded to the computer and there were several images that were printed out. And that's enough to convict. Okay. Which is crazy.
And so she found these images that he had, and she turned him in.
Yes.
And so how long did you guys find him guilty?
Well, this is where I got pissed off. Okay. But in a way, it was a win-win situation for me because I got the juice.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, like, I sat through court and listened to everything, but my name was pulled out as a 13th juror, so I was like, oh, so I don't get to deliberate.
Oh, so you don't know if he got convicted or not?
No, I know he got convicted.
Okay.
He got convicted for the ones where his semen was on the actual pictures. What? And his fingerprints were.
Wow.
But he didn't get convicted for the downloading because when he downloaded the images, he used... You know when you log into a computer, like, everybody has, like, a username?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, he used her username instead of his. Mm. So that's debatable.
Do you think she set him up?
She did. I know for... we all think that she did.
So you think she like took his sperm and then put it on there and stuff
that
like
was,
that?
Actually, you know what? That was one of the defenses. That was one of the defenses.
Did they examine the spray patterns of the jizz on
there? Well, the thing is... No, but...
Because there's a difference between like a splat and a smear.
No. The other thing is like...
I watched CSI.
Your brakes. The other thing is, I think one of the things is like, we were upset as
people
jurors...
People don't pump brakes anymore, by the way.
Oh, whatever.
Because they're all like...
anti-lock.
Yeah.
Anti-lock your brakes.
Yes.
I think part of the thing is like, people were upset because it's like, they only tested for his DNA and not anybody else's.
And not any of her vag juice or anything?
How did you know?
I watched CSI. CSI.
Woo-hoo! Okay.
Got it.
Okay. We gotta wrap this up. So a man just ended his marriage on Facebook?
He did.
Yes, it's me and Mark.
His wife had no idea what was happening. And she found
out. Mark, I'm sorry, you just found out right now.
She found out because her friend called her up and be like, what's going on? I see that your marriage is over. And she's just like, huh? And then she was like, yeah, your husband just declared his marriage, like he's single and stuff.
Were they living together at the time?
Well, yeah, they were married and everything. And she just thought everything was like, well, they know they hadn't been getting along, but they didn't know, she hadn't known it was going that far. But yeah, for 6 years, so, and then it was like, doop.
That's what did stupid. You say in the Middle East, in order to get a divorce, you have to say what?
Talak, talak, talak.
Which is three I divorce you three times. And then, you stone them, or you then you put tires around them.
No, the
and then
family
you set them on fire.
Stones them.
Okay.
The family.
They say Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Oh. Now we just we all got married here. We're in a group marriage. Right,
hey, hey, wait a minute. What happens if you say Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice?
That's you're in a group marriage.
I thought that. Oh no! That, oh, I was thinking of.
I think you summon the Dark Lord and he does your bidding.
Oh no! I thought that was like when the. That what was the
Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody
Mary. Oh, careful what you do, Mark.
What's the one with
that? Red Wings, Red Wings, Red Wings.
No, there's the one with the goat.
Don't watch that video. We're gonna do the podcast that's like The Ring. Mm-hmm. If you listen to it, then your phone will ring, and you, if you answer the phone, then a spirit demon will.
Your ears
your
will bleed.
Mm-hmm. Your ears start bleeding.
It'll eat your dick out. Oh, from the inside out.
Eric's tongue just went wild. I want to remind people that today's episode was sponsored in part by LifeLube.org, your sweet spot on the net.
Subscribe via email or reader and never miss a sticky, delicious post. Gay, sexy, healthy, hit that sweet spot at LifeLube.org. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That is Jim Pickett's fantastic gay men's sex health blog. Mm-hmm. And it's something you got to read. And
check it out. There's lots of news coming up about the Gay Men's Health Summit.
That's happening this summer.
Yeah, in August. So if you go to Life Lube and there's links to all of that.
It's
you can check
it out. Is it the GLBTI or the LGBT?
GLBTI. There's intersexed in there.
Can they put the G? Ooh, can I do a plug?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm painting live. Away. I'm sorry. I'm painting live at the Art Against AIDS.
Art Against AIDS. And you have something. Where is
that? They put you in a cage. They put some food in and a canvas.
And I teabag you.
Come on, Jared. Not again.
And then your paw prints are on the canvas.
And you're doing something up in Wisconsin and Milwaukee, right?
You know what? The good thing is like I'm starting to get out there in Milwaukee, which is good. Okay. So if anybody's out there in Milwaukee and needs...
Well, we have a listener, a friend up there, Josh Walter. I'm sure he'd be happy to hang out with you. You should go out with him. He's a lot of fun. He's the good morning guy.
Almost as fun as you are.
Almost as fun
as
you are.
If you know what I'm saying.
And, but he's
smack!
Also... But he's but almost. Yeah, Milwaukee's wonderful. I would totally come up here this summer. Let's go out.
Well,
Milwaukee.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you guys need to come up to our house and just go.
Yeah.
Or not golf, but like hit the ball
I want to go to the bar.
Here.
I want at least six different kinds of beer stocked in the guest refrigerator in the room.
But here's the thing: like Milwaukee's so good,
almost
at
hotel
they don't
room.
Care.
But,
like what? Like you walk into a bar in Chicago and everybody's like, okay, like I sees you.
Oh, that you feel like they're well, it's because you have a reputation here.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm not even thinking about that. But at least in Milwaukee, it's like you know what? In Milwaukee, it's like you know everybody's
you're fresh meat.
No, in Milwaukee, it's like, you know, everybody's it's more relaxed.
The sweeter.
You know, they're just trying to make a buck.
I like Milwaukee. We had a fantastic time when we were
I love Milwaukee.
You actually saw us perform at Milwaukee Pride Fest.
I loved it. I had the...
You were sitting there.
Aside from the torrential...
It was like the
storm rain.
It was crazy.
I gotta pee.
Okay.
So we're done here. The music featured on today's show is the music of Jeffrey Straker. The song Emoticons from his album Step Right Up is available on our website, feastoffools.net.
And I want to remind people that we can't do the show without your support, so please visit our website, feastoffools.net, and... make a donation, buy a t-shirt.
Join the Feast of Fools group or fan page on Facebook. Just search Feast of Fools and you'll be part of our community.
I'm Fausto's fan on there.
I'm Mark Felian's fan, too. Mm-hmm. We also have separate fan pages.
We do.
So maybe it's like, it's a race to see who gets the most fans.
Hey, we're still in that running for the best gay news site in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah, we are. The Reader, one of our local magazines, has it going on. So
ChicagoReader.com, they're voting, asking people to vote on what is the best gay news source or craziest news source in the city of Chicago. Yeah. And you can go there and you can type in Feast of Fools and write a little testimonial.
Yeah, say how much you love the show.
And what it means to you. Why is Feast of Fools deserves to be best gay media of
the Because we want to raise our profile and let people know that we're here and it helps sustain the show.
Yes, if this is what Feast of Fools means to you, represent. Mm. So we're going to leave you. Sounds like the music just... That was the shortest little song.
That was a short little ditty.
We're going to another song now. This is Time to Breathe from the same album. So we're going to leave you with that.
Time to Breathe. All right, let's go.
Let's go breathe.
I'm Fausto Furnos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
Bye, everyone.
Your fingertips and you're catching what you can with paper serviettes. Placing buckets around the room again, but waves are washing over your head. So you pause for a moment, smoke a cigarette. Some runs down the drain, down the drain. Some runs down the drain. And you're screaming out, and you're grabbing for the noose, and you raise your fist and leave her with a heart shaped bruise. You apologize in a smoke of glowing embers, and you grab her by the throat so she will remember. Give me some time to breathe, some time to breathe. Give me some time to breathe. From a golden gun, she tracks you down. A sadist fun shouting, smile for me, boy, smile for me. Trigger pulled on a count of three, she brings you down to your callous knees. A kaleidoscope of colors.